Thanks, Steve.
Is it better than snow, though?
Rain? No.
I don't think it is.
I don't know that
I'd rather have the snow.
Yeah.
I was walking across the blustery Michigan Avenue Bridge this morning.
Yeah?
Not Michigan Avenue, Columbus Avenue.
Yeah.
Where do I work now? And I'm thinking, yeah, just a steady snow wouldn't have been so bad.
It's windy and rainy and just so miserable outside. But
it's a nap day.
Yeah, let's all take a nap.
Speaking of which, can I just say, many people have said I fall asleep with my radio on WGN, and I nearly had a heart attack when I heard you guys on at 9:15. I thought I was going to be late picking up my grandson.
Freaking out.
I know. We probably should have explained it more.
This was like War of the Worlds. This was like the panic broadcast.
Listen, I was sitting in the newsroom working on my Alexa newscast, and I heard your voice. I'm like, what? I thought I lost an hour somewhere.
Congratulations to you, because it's a different mindset. Just doing the morning show, I know we were only on it for an hour, but it don't you approach it just slightly differently? You feel like...
Yeah, I work harder.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
We have time to breathe in middays, you know, right. And that's what I enjoy about
it. No pressure.
Morning, man, you got to keep moving
Non-stop.
And moving and moving.
I don't know how people are built for it.
And traffic, as I was listening to Mary all morning because I didn't want to be late.
Mm-hmm.
I need a nap.
You know, me coming in an hour early required just some juggling things around,
right.
And I didn't want to be late. And traffic is, honestly, cars multiply when it rains. We do better when it snows.
I think people, when they hear snow, they stay away from the roads more.
Oh, maybe.
But when they hear rain, they're like, oh, it's just rain. I can barrel through it. Ha, 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 you know, and
but Mara,
they get stuck.
I've heard other people postulate that same theory saying.
Postulate?
Yeah. Where do they go? Where, if they're staying away from the roads, where are they?
Well, they take public transportation.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
There's never been a time where the weather has dictated whether or not I drive or take a train.
Well, I think we're in a new era now where people work from home much more easily.
That's what's happening.
Or they can use that as an excuse anyway. I'm going to work from home.
Oh,
then
maybe.
They go sledding.
I wonder how many people really work when they're at home.
A lot of people.
I mean, they do, but don't you think some just, the ones that don't do it all the time, just kind of slack?
There's probably a little more downtime if you're at home.
Yeah, I don't know if they put in a full 8 hours, although maybe they do it, but just not the 9-to-5 route,
right.
You know?
I think it's generally more task-driven, too. Like, Sharon,
how so?
My wife works from home. She's worked from home for, gosh, I don't know, 18, 20 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
She might have some free time during the day to do something she needs to do, but then she's working at 8 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
Too. So
you're.
But she's got tasks, you know, that need to be done.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff. So you get those done.
So you
that
make
way.
Her do the laundry while she's home.
Let me just say this crystal clearly: I don't make her do anything.
I knew that was.
Steve's reading a prepared statement.
Yeah.
Right.
but you could certainly schedule things so that you could do things like that while working from home. You just spread it out a little bit differently. Like
why
here at work, if I do my laundry here, people go, why do you bring your laundry in? And we don't have any washing machines. You're wasting your time.
Why don't we get a washing machine? We have a shower.
We do have a shower.
And would it be so hard to get a soda machine?
Is
wouldn't
there
that
no,
be, no
there
wouldn't that be a
here?
Great... And I'm only doing this, and I'm going to use you as my person here.
Yeah.
There are people that don't drink coffee.
Yes.
And perhaps they would like a...
Orange Fanta.
Diet Coke.
A bubbled beverage.
Yeah.
So you're doing this for Bill, Wendy. That is
yes.
so sweet.
That's so nice of you.
Wow, nice of you, yes.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee, so my options are... I mean...
Because they offer that for free.
Yes. I can make it downstairs to the Pedway and get a Diet Coke from Patel in 3.5 minutes.
All right, will you get me one during the next commercial break?
Sure.
All right, well, so there are four of us talking right here. We'll throw Jasmine in. What say you? Do you want a soda machine? Yes or no? Bill?
Who would say yes, I do.
Steve?
I think there's a vending...
Steve,
yes.
On the floor.
Yes.
Mary?
Would it have water in it, too? Bottled water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then, for sure.
Jasmine?
No.
Why? Why do you have to be a contrarian?
Because it's Monday.
Any other day, Jazz? If this was Tuesday.
If it was Tuesday, I would have said, yeah, but just because it's
just
Monday.
Just to be difficult? All right.
I'm deflated.
Wendy, I just got a text from Toni Preckwinkle. She said, go ahead, I'll tax you. I don't care.
You know,
she'll find
I'd
a way to tax.
Tax
your soda pop.
I'd pay the tax. That's how
just
much I want
one.
A machine here.
I didn't even notice because, you know, I've cut back considerably on that. I didn't even notice we didn't have one.
What if there was the good Pellegrino you like or something?
Is it a club soda? Your
Canada
club soda
Dry
game?
Club soda?
Yeah. Oh, that's the one you
yeah,
want?
Yeah, that's the...
I'll make sure it's stocked.
Then, yeah. Then I would definitely want one, yeah.
I might start a little stand. I'll just bring in those things you guys want. Sell
all
them
right.
for twice what they cost.
I want it to sell Mellow Yellow and Fanta.
Oh, yeah.
Can we add Squirt? I love
yeah.
Squirt.
Squirt, too.
There's yes. not going to be any room for Diet Coke.
That's too easy to obtain, Steve. We want more difficult soda pops to obtain.
That would be fun. Oh, what a dream.
I like your idea.
All right, who do I
Doesn't
talk to
Doesn't mean it'll go any
this.
Further, but I don't know.
What radio station have you worked at that hasn't had a vending
have
machine
them.
Or
they
a soda
all
machine?
Have them.
Although we didn't at Trib Tower, did we?
I would like the kind,
yeah,
the old
well,
kind.
Was there a soda machine?
There was when we were on the first floor forever.
There was that. Yeah. I would like one that doesn't dispense a can of soda, but you know, remember the old kind where a styrofoam cup would come down and then you get a little bit of club soda, and then right as the flavoring came down, the cup would turn sideways so that it wouldn't go in the cup properly?
Yeah.
That's the kind I want. Those are fun.
Old school.
When I was in the Soviet Union in the 80s,
yes.
they had beer vending machines.
They
oh,
did.
Oh,
no,
you are
but it was,
so talking.
But it, no, not really, because it was like that. There was one glass. So you'd put the glass under and fill up your glass with beer. You'd drink it, and then you'd return the glass.
Put the same glass under without it being washed.
For the next person.
I'd just put my mouth under that spigot. Well, go ahead, Nick DiGilio. Take it. Good God,
wow.
y'all.
You
haven't you ever
up.
Been to a frat where they had a beer vending machine?
No.
Back in the day? Oh, yeah.
No, we just had kegs.
I used to take old vending machine, put beer in them. It's great.
Mm. Well, ask for that, too, Wendy. If you're asking for a pop machine, say, and a beer machine would be nice, too. Attract a higher grade of guests. Get a wine machine, too. See what happens. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's a lot more show ahead. Don't worry, you weren't late. Wendy and I were just on an hour early. Nothing to see here. Still in Wendy WGN. Last year, they let Tom play center field for an inning.
Well, I'll tell you. How'd he do?
I'll tell you, that ball, coming off the bat, you don't realize how fast it's coming at you, Wendy. Here's an interesting text. I have a son, this is from 630, I have a son that works from home, and he has to punch in and out on his computer at designated times, starting at 7, ending at 3:30. Couldn't you, you could do other things and just still punch in at those hours, couldn't you?
They can tell when you're submitting things, and maybe you have
maybe.
Things. I know that my son Michael has a couple of classes where he has to take quizzes by midnight on certain nights, and he has to submit it. And obviously, there's a timestamp, and if it's after midnight, then he loses some credit.
Wouldn't you, if they gave you the option, they said, "Hey, do the show anytime you want from home." Wouldn't you be fairly easily distracted doing this from your house?
No.
You wouldn't be?
Because when I had my knee replaced, I did a week of shows from home. Jim has a studio, so it made I just locked myself in there and told nobody to come down and to shut the dog up when it barks.
Oh.
I did the biz lunch from home for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
you did. And you weren't distracted at all, Steve?
No, it was great.
Yeah.
I like working from home, but honestly, I know Johnny B made a career of it, not, you know, looking at someone, and he needed to be focused just by himself. I can do it, but I'd much rather have the camaraderie of being with other people.
We're actually going to talk about this on the Business Lunch today with Elise Glink about how, as more and more of us work from home, we're kind of losing the society or socialness of work.
Oh, I bet.
And people are becoming more lonely.
Right, right. Let's say they said to me, it's all the same to us. Do it from home, do it from here, it's up to you. I would come in every day.
Me too.
I would just definitely need to.
Jim works from home, and he's in his studio like a good portion of the day.
Yeah.
And he just, as Steve said, I'm pretty sure he's lonely.
Yeah.
Because he comes home and he wants to talk, and I'm like, I'm all talked out.
Yeah. And the office Christmas party is awful. It's just him.
At least he has a Christmas party.
Wow.
When was the last time there was a Christmas party?
We don't have them anymore.
Can we just start with the vending machine, please?
Right.
I don't really care about the Christmas party. Can I tell you, that is the busiest time of the year, and there are people, one person who invites me every year, and I can never make it because it's just the busiest time of the year.
Yeah. Speaking of the vending machine, several people have texted in and said, if you're having obscure soda pops in your pop machine, one person wants Bubble Up. Remember that?
Yeah.
Lemon Lime Soda. Another person wants Cherokee Red. Good for
I
you
don't
for
know
remember
what that
Cherokee
is.
Red. Cherokee Red was made by Canfields in the 60s and the 70s. It had an Indian chief on the can, on the front and the back, a different Indian chief. It was cherry-flavored soda. Very delicious. Extremely delicious. But was, so obscure.
Wasn't there a Big Red, too? I know that's
yeah,
a
Yeah, Big
gum.
Red was a red cream soda.
Oh, I would like some cream
yeah,
soda.
Yeah, that was good.
That was like the Jewel Pops, remember?
Yeah.
Yummy.
Yummy.
My mother would
yummy
buy
soda.
The yummy. Oh, they were
right.
awful. You'd
the
get
old 100 yummy.
For a dollar.
Yeah. It was
That's
so
right.
nasty.
A penny
That's right.
a piece.
The yummy, when we were growing up, had a little boy and a little girl smiling up in the upper left-hand corner of the logo.
And then they smiled no more?
They stopped smiling because they realized this stuff is cheap.
Plus, they lost all their teeth from the sugar.
I saw Tab this weekend. Somebody yeah. was drinking a Tab, and I kind of didn't realize they still made that.
But it's been rebranded as kind of an energy soda now.
No. This was just regular Tab. They have various types of Tab, but no, this is just sugar-free Tab, which was always in our house because my dad was a childhood diabetic.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really have sugar in the house, which I do say I don't really have a huge sweet tooth.
Yeah.
We never had sugar. My mom was, you know, convinced if we have a Snickers bar, we're going to get diabetes.
We'll ruin you. Yeah.
So Tab was always in...
In the pink can or the pink
bottle? The bottles. Remember, you had to get the bottles, and then you'd return them. We would take them to the Jewel, and there'd be this giant fenced-in area where you'd just put it, and you'd get your 20 cents for the 8-pack.
Immigration's using those now.
They are?
Tab, when I was in college, you'd have the buffet dinners or whatever.
Yeah.
And this was the joke that the girls would make their ice cream floats with Tab.
Ugh.
What buffet dinners?
Ugh. No, but you know, you have the cafeteria style dinners, but then you go to the ice cream.
Oh, like
bar.
A root beer float.
Yeah, but it's Tab. I mean, you're eating ice cream. Why would you do
Tab? I think I had that before in college. I think I used to do that. That wasn't bad.
If I had my choice of obscure sodas to put inside this machine, I'm going 50-50 all the way.
Loved 50-50. What was it?
Grapefruit and lime.
I loved it.
Wait, Steve.
50-50 was Canfield's 50-50.
50-50 is so good.
What's the difference between that and Squirt?
They're very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, that's in the same family.
Because I like
citrusy.
A good Squirt. What?
You do this on purpose.
No, I did not.
You didn't say that in rehearsal.
Right.
You waited till the big show.
Don't
you didn't
get,
say in rehearsal.
Thinking of Squirt, I get that little tight feeling in the back of my jaw.
Right.
You start salivating. That's what it is. Think of a lemon right now, and I'll bet you $5 that you start salivating.
You know what you can find again? For a while, it was easy to find, and then it became impossible, and now I'm seeing it again, is Ruby Red Squirt, which is...
I never had that.
It's the same grapefruit flavor.
That's your
so
heaven
good,
in a can.
But it also adds cherry and raspberry to the mix.
Cherry?
It's the same drink with a different dye color.
No, you can taste.
You are so half empty.
You can taste the cherry and the raspberry. It's so good. And for a while, you just couldn't find it. And then I prayed, and it came back. And now you can find it again.
That was a Hallmark movie, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Lori Loughlin's part got cut off.
But she was quenched.
Right. Her thirst was quenched.
There's We're no not question. Fighting. I'm winning.
Oh, I'm going to get a lot of use out of that.
Steve hid under his desk when you played that.
I know. All right, Mark wants to talk real quickly about working from home. Mark, did it work for you or no?
No, you know what, Wendy? I was lonely. I did miss my coworkers and such. So I was
Did they miss you?
That I don't know. I would have to ask them. But the other thing, too, is when you're working out at house, you have no separation from your work. So I go out, I go home, and I'd be reminded.
Oops. You'd be reminded
to not hang up. Oh, there he is. There he is. So you cut out a little bit, Mark. What were you saying?
I was saying that the other thing about working from the home is you really don't have separation from work because your office is at your home.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So when you come home and I was constantly reminded, oh, yeah, I have this to do and I have that to do. So you never really have that sanctuary where you remove yourself from the office. You go home. And you had that separation. I was coming home after going shopping or whatever, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's my pile of work, and I should be working on this, this, and this. So it lasted for only 6 months, and then I went to a traditional role going into the office every day.
And you like that better or not as much?
He likes it better. Welcome back to work. Yeah, he said it just was too lonely. And
I would imagine.
You know, that's your sanctuary.
Yeah.
Where does he live? That sounds nice.
It's sanctuary. all right, we must take a break.
Oh, there is no break.
We must not take a break, Wendy. This is what I'm saying.
Oh,
breaks.
I would have kept him
at home. If I was doing the show from home, I'd take a break. But we're in the studio. Let's just go live. We'll go live.
God, it feels like we worked an hour longer already.
I think Sanctuary and St. Charles are twin cities.
Like, what's the other one? Homewood Flossmoore.
Homewood Flossmoore.
And Homewood Flossmoore and what?
No, and then there's another one, too. There's a sister city like that, too.
I grew up near Bradley Bourbonnais.
Oh, that's one.
It's not the one I was
Manhattan
thinking about.
Manhattan
Moni. Yes.
But when I hear sanctuary, I think...
Wait, that's an exit. That's
right. That doesn't count,
sorry.
Mary.
Those towns are 15 miles apart.
Oh.
But when I hear sanctuary, I think of where Superman, that frozen city that he had, that crystally city. Superman Sanctuary.
What's the name of that city? You have to know the city.
Which one?
Isn't there a name for that city? Where Superman, Metropolis.
No. But remember when he just had that Fortress of Solitude?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I always think of when I hear Sanctuary.
I would like one of those Fortress of Solitudes with a soda machine.
Right. If you get your say in it. Wendy, I have found an article that claims to have facts that are completely 100% accurate, but they will seem fake. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I might have read the same article.
These are all little facts from all different areas of expertise.
All right.
That seem like when you hear them, you'll say, Bill, why are you giving out fake information? But you'll be wrong because these are actually 100% accurate. They're true. Are you sitting down?
Yes, I'm sitting down actually today.
All right, here's the first one. Try to breathe and swallow at the same time. You can't do it.
Which is a may I just say this is a surefire way to remove your hiccups from your system.
Oh, is that true?
You hold your breath and then swallow. And keep holding your breath, and like on the fourth or fifth time,
what'll happen?
You cannot swallow. You're like holding your breath, and it just won't go up or down. But once you get to that point,
yes,
the hiccups almost
go away.
Are gone.
Why wouldn't they include that in these list of things that sound impossible but are true?
Why are people always trying to get rid of hiccups?
Because they suck.
Steve's a hiccup fan.
I hate them.
Turn it around. Just if you embrace them, it would be so much you'd be happier.
Steve was on. He was the captain of his hiccup team in high school. They went downstate.
My son Michael had them like 5 times in one day. And
wow. What caused them?
He doesn't know. And then it didn't happen again. But every once in a while, he has this...
Wasn't there a woman who had him for like 30 years? She just couldn't get rid of him for 30 years? You should have called her and told her you're cuter.
I don't have her number.
Oh. I didn't think about that.
But yeah, you hold your breath and swallow. And you just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And honestly, like third, fourth, or fifth time, you can't... You're still holding your breath and you're trying to swallow and it won't, like the swallow won't go up or down and you get like frustrated and then you're like, what do I do? But by the time you then take a breath, your hiccups are gone 9 out of 10 times.
They're almost all, what happens in that 10th time? Why doesn't it take on that time? I'm curious.
Because you just said you can't hold your breath.
It says here you cannot. It's impossible.
You can't hold your breath and swallow?
You can't breathe and swallow
breathe
at the same
down.
Time.
Right.
Yeah. Here's another one that's very similar. It says it's impossible to hum and hold your nose at the same time.
I did this last night.
Let me hear. Well, you just proved this one to be wrong. You held your you did both of those things.
I mean, it's that.
That's. We should have a WGN talent show because you would win.
Shut
you would easily win with that talent.
Right, but it's interesting. Why does the sound change if your nose is blocked?
Because there's no air coming in there. It makes things all closed up.
Yes.
I'm Squidward.
Yeah, but if you're talking with your mouth open and your voice box...
It shouldn't alter it that much, Steve. I'm with you.
Right, thank you.
But it does. It.
But you can hum. I still hummed.
It says here it's impossible.
Liar.
I don't know why they said that, because you proved that one to be wrong. Here's one. If you folded a piece of paper 42 times, it would reach to the moon.
That is a lie.
How does that...
42 times?
So for it to be big enough to be folded 42 times, it would have to be...
That's the way it should be worded.
Yeah, because I tried it. I did all this last night.
Wow. That was amazing.
It was show prep. I had the same story.
No, that counts as show prep.
A lot of people watch Game of Thrones.
It was not that big unless the moon was, you know,
right,
a foot away from
me. Right. So that's what they should have worded it that way. They were saying to be able to fold a piece of paper 42 times, it would have to be the distance to the moon.
Yeah,
that's
maybe they mean fold it over itself or
right,
something.
Right, right. So far they've got one right, one wrong, and one that was worded improperly.
Keep
so
going.
Far.
Some of they get better.
All right, tell me what you think of this one. Coconuts kill more people than sharks every year.
That's true.
I've heard that from Bertrand's News, actually.
Steve, have you done stories about people who have died in coconut-related deaths?
Oh, the coconut drops from the tree.
And then I guess it could kill you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
What if there's a lime in the coconut?
Or
why didn't you do that? Anyone. I left it.
You're jogging and you step on a coconut on the
right.
beach?
Right. Interesting. I don't know anyone whose family has been touched by a coconut death. I'm very fortunate that way.
There's a stigma, really, to talking about it.
No, there is. I'll give you that.
Right.
All right. What is special? Now, Wendy, you have said that you already know most of these, so I can't ask you this one, but Steve, I will ask you.
Oh,
what was that?
A coconut
fell off the sky.
She hiccuped again.
If my hiccup sounded like that, I better eat something. It's like hollow in there.
All right, Steve, I don't think you'll ever get this.
Okay.
This one's tough. What is special about this combination of words? The first word is UMOP,
uh-huh.
UMOP. The second word is Epsidn, APISDN. When you put those words together, write it down. Actually, I think that would help you. Write it down. UMOP is the first word. APISDN is the second word. What is special about that?
APISDN?
Yes.
Isn't it EPIS?
It says here UMOP. An APISDN.
I'm sorry, I just don't know.
Wendy, you want to take this one? You know this one?
Well, did you write it down?
Well, UMOP and APISDN.
Yes.
Yeah, did you write it down?
Well, I did.
Okay, but turn the paper over. And what does it say?
Well, I don't write very well.
Oh.
Should say
if
upside
you did,
down.
It would say upside down. It is the word upside down written upside down.
I really can't read that, what I wrote, but.
Oh.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Well, these are mostly accurate, so you have
to. This one's accurate.
Yeah. Here's the next one. Cleopatra lived closer to the invention of the iPhone than she did to the building of the Great Pyramid.
I love statistics like this.
That blows me away,
though. That one's strange. And easily to prove, easy to prove that it's true.
Just fold a piece of paper 42
right.
times.
Right. You'll figure that one out. Russia has a larger surface area than the planet Pluto. You
don't
think about it because you hear about a planet and you say to yourself, well, that's a lot of space. That's a lot of land. It's a whole planet. But Russia is so vast that the land surface area of Russia is more than the whole planet of Pluto. Pluto's a small one of your smaller planets. You know that.
It's a dwarf planet.
Saudi Arabia imports camels from Austria.
This one made me go, what?
You said that out loud?
Yeah. When I was practicing last night.
With the humming and the holding of your nose?
They're the Lipizzaner camels.
Are they?
No.
No, those are horses.
Because you say to yourself, I bet in Saudi Arabia, camels just are probably running rampant
like
everywhere
squirrels.
You go. They'd be like, like squirrels, you would imagine.
They have camel feeders. They'd climb up on them.
Here's one I will throw. Now, Wendy, again, I can't ask you this one because you've been challenged to this one. But, Steve, I can ask you, what is special about hippo milk?
Hippo milk?
Yeah, what is special about it?
Well, no one who collects it ever lives.
That's not true.
Oh, I don't know that.
That's not true. It is colored pink.
Really?
Yes.
Make you want to drink it now?
No. Not even
it's
a little
strawberry.
Bit. Yeah, it would be like that Nestle's Quick. Remember that stuff? The strawberry flavored one?
And they had animals as mascots, right? It wasn't
Did.
Was it a hippo?
No, it was a cow, I believe.
Oh.
I think. Who is this person, Steve? Again, Wendy, I want to ask you these, but you have already sampled some of these.
Worked ahead.
Who is this person? Barbara Millicent Roberts. She's very, very famous.
Mrs.
But who
Bush,
is she?
Right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I know who it is.
Do you, Mayor?
Why is that funny?
Yeah.
I think that's her middle
it's
name,
Barbie.
Millicent.
Barbie. Oh.
It is Barbie.
They're very similar.
It is Barbie. Barbie's real name, her full name, legal name, Barbara Millicent Roberts.
I knew it was Roberts. I didn't know about the Millicent.
She looks like a Millicent.
She does a little bit look like Millicent. Who is this person? Woody Pride. Also famous, but why? Who is Woody Pride?
I was going to actually ask you this question. Would you have known it? Because
I did
know
this one.
I did not know it.
Oh, is it Woody from Toy Story?
Yes. Mary. Yay. Wow.
Very good.
Very good.
I have no idea.
Mr. Clean of...
Is hot,
Wendy. No, it doesn't say that. It says he also has a full name. Do you know what it is? This is tough. I don't know where the source material on this is. Mr. Clean's full name is Veritably Clean. I don't know where they get that from.
Who has an adjective for a name?
The Cookie Monster from Sesame Street
one Cookie Monster. No, that's not an adjective.
That's not it.
But he has a real name?
He has a name.
No one knows that. Did you know this?
I did not know this one.
Okay, if you didn't know this, no one knew this.
I don't know when this came up. Maybe on an episode of Sesame Street at some point. His real name is Sid. But he prefers to go by Cookie Monster. All right, we'll take a break, and then more of these facts that you hear and you say, that's impossible. That can't possibly be. When in fact, we find out that some of them are possible. Not all of them, but some of them.
I love these.
Yeah. They're fun. It says fun facts right on it, Wendy. You're going to have fun. There's nothing you can do. More after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Over the weekend, over on BuzzFeed, they had an article that contained all kinds of facts that you say to yourself, well, that can't possibly be true, but it turns out they are true, or some of them are true. Most of them are true. Wendy has disproven more than one already.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Don't mean to bust your bubble.
Here's one. It's very brief. It's just a four-word fun fact, Wendy, but I wish they had told us more, because I'm curious as to how this could be and why this is. Did you know that carrots... Carrots aren't a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Carrots
were originally purple.
No, but I have seen purple carrots.
I have also seen similar. Yeah,
purple potatoes. I think I'm confusing them, but they're both a tuber.
So why? What happened that made them switch from purple to orange? Were people not eating them because they were purple? Because grapes are purple and people eat grapes. They didn't turn those orange.
I'd eat something purple.
I would.
Eggplants?
Eggplants.
Not so much.
I don't like eggplants. They have, like, no flavor. They're just, like, spongy.
It depends on how they're prepared.
Parmesan, like an eggplant parmesan.
You don't like it?
I take all the sauce and cheese off and leave the eggplant for the next person.
Oh, that's very kind of you. This is another one that I would throw in the challenging pile. Vending machines, this gets back to what we were discussing earlier, vending machines are twice as likely to kill you than a shark is.
I bet you because when something gets stuck and you're sitting there hitting it and it falls on you.
You would die from that?
Well, it falls over on you.
Yeah? It crushes you?
This just shows the shark.
Like a chicken bone.
The shark lobby's come up with a new marketing firm or something.
Right.
All these statistics.
To make themselves look better.
Exactly.
Will that help or hurt Shark Week?
It would hurt Shark Week. They would change it to Vending Machine Week because more people are afraid of vending machines
soon.
Now.
Or sticking your hand up there. I could just reach it.
And then how
right
do you
there.
Die from that?
No one finds you.
Then you have to bite your arm off.
So earlier we were ripping on management for not having a soda machine, but actually they're just trying to save our lives.
They care.
They care about us.
Don't you think you'd see it coming down? You could
yes.
get away before that? Unless
Mary,
your
yes.
hand was stuck in there like you
but
said.
But does that happen often? Do people's hands get stuck in vending machines?
I've seen it happen. There was some kid who got stuck in the claw machine. Did you see that
happens
video?
A lot now.
What kid is going to climb up in there?
I don't know. But I've seen that happen two or three times in the last few months. Different kids, because I keep going, oh, this is an old story. And then I watch it, a video of it, and I go, oh, it's a different kid. Different city, different kid.
And it's so tragic, because the parent can't get the kid, because that claw doesn't
right.
grip very hard.
Right.
It's like it goes on the kid's head, and then it just...
Yeah. You have to keep putting quarters in to hopefully win your kid back. That's no way to spend a weekend.
It sure isn't.
No. In a few months, this is a separate fact from the vending machines... I should somehow denote a separation in facts. That's my problem.
Next one.
Right. If this was a film strip, I would do this. Boop. In a few months, The Lion King will have been released closer to the moon landing than to today.
Really?
So the moon landing was in 1969. Does that sound right? I think.
Sure.
Somewhere in there. So Lion King was closer, if you had a timeline, the Lion King was closer to that moon landing than it is to this day. Not yet, but in a couple of months.
That's pretty fascinating, because 1969 does not seem that long ago to me, but it was.
No, and the Lion King seems like it was just out a very short time ago, but it wasn't. So it's very deceiving. Boop! Shakespeare. I would, if people want to hire me, if you're showing film strips at your business or your school...
And then you get with the times.
I would, yeah, first of all, they now have... much more modern methods, so DVDs. Stop it. But if you're stuck in the past, I'd be happy to come and make that boop noise. Shakespeare and Pocahontas both lived during the same time. I don't find that hard to believe.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not once in the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme does it mention that Humpty Dumpty was an egg.
That is fascinating to me, because why is he an egg?
It was explained to me once that it was that Humpty Dumpty was political satire, and it didn't make me enjoy Humpty Dumpty any more or less knowing that.
What does that mean, though? I mean, how does an egg represent? What does it represent?
He was rather rotund.
He was an egg.
As if to say what, Mary? Why? So why would they do that?
Maybe he was just a big fat soldier or whatever he was supposed to be. I don't know.
I think he was royalty of some sort, wasn't he?
You break it, you can't put it back together. You destroy it.
Oh, yeah, but it didn't say he was an egg.
What was the context of it? I didn't hear the beginning.
It says, not once during the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme does it mention that Humpty Dumpty was an egg. So why would that be? Because it was taught to me that was political satire, and I just went, well, yeah, of course it is, but I didn't know why. Do you? I didn't want to discuss Humpty Dumpty any further with that person, so I just said, yeah, I know that. Everyone knows that.
Humpty Dumpty is a character in an English nursery rhyme, probably originally a riddle, and one of the best known in the English-speaking world. He is typically portrayed as an anthropomorphic egg, though he is not explicably described as such.
But we only know that from seeing the illustrations.
Right.
He's always dressed.
Yeah. Much like an egg.
An egg isn't dressed.
Oh, that's right.
If you put hollandaise sauce on it, it is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Because he was an egg.
But
which didn't rhyme. Isn't there a second verse to it, too, though? Or is
second
that
verse, same as the first.
Is it really? No. Is it the same?
I'm
a little bit longer, a little bit worse.
Oh, right.
Whatever.
Chapter 6 of the book is entitled Humpty Dumpty, which is...
Chapter 6 of which book?
The Dorling Kindersley Book of Nursery Rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 6 of the book is entitled Humpty Dumpty, and apparently it's here that Humpty first appeared as an egg. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
However, the egg only got larger and larger and more human. When she had come within a few yards of it, she saw it had eyes and a nose and a mouth, and when she had come close to it, she saw clearly that it was Humpty Dumpty himself.
Oh.
It can't be anybody else, she said to herself. I'm as certain of it as if his name were written all over his face.
Oh.
That's from Through the Looking Glass, Lewis Carroll.
Is it really?
Yeah.
But did he originally write Humpty Dumpty? That doesn't seem right.
Carroll may have introduced Humpty as an egg. He can't be credited with the original nursery rhyme.
Oh, all right.
So what was Humpty before an egg? 312-591, not 591. What is the number?
312-981-7200. Right. France was still France was still executing people with a guillotine when the first Star Wars film came out.
Seriously? That was what?
When
1970?
We think about guillotines, you think about 280 years ago. You don't think about the 70s, but they were still doing it.
That scares me.
Armadillos.
Your boobs are getting bad.
I'm getting tired, Wendy. Armadillos nearly always give birth to identical quadruplets. That's more about armadillos than I knew in my whole life put together, by the way.
Who could tell any armadillos apart? Aren't they all
They all look pretty
identical?
Similar, yeah, to us. But to armadillos, no, Steve. The armadillos know the difference. We just don't.
We should do more. Do you have more of these? Because we should do more of them on the stream. These are fascinating to me.
I have some really good ones we didn't get to. Let's do it on the stream. All right. More fun facts on the stream later on today. Please tune in for that. Now a break. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I'm going to buy
me a car. Oh, I love this song. Because I need a friend now.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get. I'm telling you.
Remember this?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
A dog?
Wendy, noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. To hear you sing, so please continue.
No, I just I miss Peter Tork. That's all. I know that's Mickey singing, but I right. love the monkeys. Yeah. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is with us.
I would sing along, but last time I tried to sing in the studio, there were some police officers yes. waiting for me outside.
It did not go well.
No.
It didn't go well. How
no,
are you, Steve?
Not.
Nice
I'm
to
good.
See you.
Thank you. It's nice to be seen.
What's going on in the world of pets, Steve?
Oh, so much is happening.
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about is these. It's been in the news, the anti-vaxxer movement,
mm-hmm.
and the result is that we have all these measles outbreaks
right.
all over the country,
right.
including right here in Chicago, actually. And this is now crossed over into the pet world. I mean, if people feel they're not going to vaccinate themselves, they feel the same way about their pets very often.
Yeah.
And that's not a good idea. So, as one example, I've got many examples, but one example is right here in Chicago. I'll use a local example. We seem to have more leptospirosis. A study was just done by the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and it happens to indicate we have a huge issue with leptospirosis.
What now, is leptospirosis
it's
for
not
$20?
Even, yeah, not even easy to say. So it's a bacterial infection that loves water. It lives in water. It can be a retention pond, a condo
our backyards, which are completely underwater because of this rain.
Yes, yes. It can be Lake Michigan. It can be anywhere, any body of water anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this water get infected with this thing I call leptospirosis? It's because animals get infected, and the animals, like a city rat, and that's why there's so much of it in Chicago.
You dirty rat.
They
That was just Wendy.
I had way too much coffee today. Sorry, everyone.
That's all right.
That was really good. Was that Anne Bancroft?
No, Jimmy Cagney.
No,
come
I had
on,
no
Steve.
Idea.
Well, it was Anne Bancroft doing Jimmy Cagney.
Oh, it was. Oh.
I think so. Even if a rat that's infected
yes.
piddles in a puddle
yes.
and your dog walks in the puddle
mm-hmm.
and your dog either licks the paws afterwards, which dogs do,
mm-hmm.
or the dog takes a drink from that puddle that's now infected with leptospirosis, unless your dog is protected with the vaccine, your dog will probably get leptospirosis. Now, here's where it gets crazy. You ready to be crazed?
Yes.
The dogs, about 20% of them, don't get sick. Those who get sick may die. They
Jeez.
Actually can get very, very ill. The 20% who don't get sick are still infecting others
yeah.
because even though they don't have symptoms, it doesn't mean they don't have the infection. So they then piddle in a puddle,
yeah.
and another dog comes along and gets very sick. It even gets crazier because if a dog has, and one of the symptoms of lepto is actually a dog having accidents where you wouldn't think that dog would have accidents. Now a little toddler walks in the house, touches the accident, if you will, puts hands to mouth, or you clean up the accident and you don't wash your hands instantly.
Right.
You can get leptospirosis. It's called a zoonotic infection. So people can get this too.
I get my dog vaccinated, everything that the vet recommends. Everything. And he just had conjunctivitis. I had been taking him to a play care place mm-hmm. during the day. And it's very contagious. So I had to put goop in his eye. I have to do a second round of it. And I called them and said, you should know this because people take their dogs to daycare like people take their kids to daycare.
Right, sure.
And I think sometimes they say, I got to go to work. I got to bring the dog. I don't care if it has pink
so
eye.
If I'm owning a daycare facility, I am mandating
yeah.
that dog is vaccinated for leptospirosis for the reasons you just said. And frankly, the dog flu as well.
Yep.
Most of them currently for kennel cough do mandate
yep.
that. The thing is, a different subject of sorts, but and they should mandate for kennel cough, but dogs don't die of kennel cough. They can die of the dog flu. So
yeah.
I don't know why they don't mandate for that.
Should we outlaw puddles?
Yeah.
Piddle puddles only.
Yes, we should.
We should, right, Steve?
Yes, but with the weather like this is impossible.
Year, it's impossible.
So with all this rain, the other thing that's happening right now is mosquitoes are loving it, right? So mosquitoes come out when all this rain stops. We're going to get a lot of mosquitoes. Mosquitoes happen to carry heartworm disease.
Uh-huh.
That's not a problem for people, but it is a problem for dogs and cats. And the good news is, like leptospirosis, there's a vaccine, incidentally. We can protect our dogs. We can do the same thing and should do the same thing for dogs and cats regarding heartworm. Now, people say, my cat never goes outside. And maybe not, you know, but mosquitoes sometimes come inside.
Yeah, sometimes they get in the house.
I caught one this morning. I really did. I was shaving, and there's this little mosquito buzzing around. And
wow.
With a beard? Did he have a beard, the little mosquito?
No, the mosquito did not have a beard.
No.
Speaking of beards, there is an amazing...
Captain Transition.
Amazing study that was just done that is going to shock Bill.
What is it, Steve?
It turns out, and this is why Bill does not have a beard.
Right.
It turns out there's more bacteria in the average beard than there is on a dog tongue.
Oh.
So you are more likely to have a problem, not that you ever would,
right,
by your partner's beard compared to getting a dog kiss. It's true.
Dog kisses are softer, too.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What other news did ZZ Top tell you?
You well, don't believe this?
No, I believe it. That's crazy.
And I've got another study for
What's
you.
What's your other study, Steve?
So, do you have performance anxiety?
What?
Like before we go on the air?
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. Yes. Of course, because you're on the air every day. I mean,
right.
But a lot of people, one of the biggest fears that people have.
Public speaking.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, it turns out, remember, here's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you'd remember, not personally, but watching YouTube,
mm-hmm.
when they had pet birds on Johnny Carson.
Right.
And the birds would never do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they would never perform. I mean, there's this one classic one with a minor bird who supposedly knew how to say all these different things. And back in the day, they did not show video of the minor bird doing it. They just said, this minor bird knows how to sing 12 songs and talk in 7 languages. The minor bird comes out and doesn't do anything.
Froze up.
Uh-huh. And Carson has fun with it.
Sure.
Of course. Well, it's not only the Johnny Carson show. It turns out that some researchers thought, I wonder if animals can have the same anxieties we do about performing. So what they did is they put birds who love showers.
Mm-hmm.
The parrots,
mm-hmm.
they love a shower. So they put birds in a shower, put a camera in there, and it turns out most of the birds performed when the door was closed and people were away. People come back in, they stopped.
Yeah.
And then the doors closed after a while. The camera's still running. And these birds performed things that people did, or said things in some cases, that they had no clue that their bird knew.
Oh, wow.
They would sing pop songs, operettas, and sometimes... Really? Sometimes use language that was rather colorful, and they had no idea that their birds knew this stuff.
What is the bird nervous of exactly? I don't know. In humans, but I don't understand what it would be in birds.
Well,
just
I mean,
not
same thing.
Succeeding? Is that
I don't know. I mean, performing in front of others can be nerve-wracking, and maybe birds think the same thing.
Oh, it's very possible.
Yeah.
That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. That's who that is. We'll take a quick break and then come more.
You don't hear that everywhere.
You don't hear that everywhere. No, we'll talk more to Steve in a moment. Stick around. Spill Monday, WGN.
Talking with our favorite noted pet expert, Steve Dale, and this is how you know summer's coming, because it's almost already time for Bark in the Park.
Oh, yeah. I love this event. Hundreds of dogs meet right next to Soldier Field and with their people,
mm-hmm.
and they walk this beautiful walk, actually, along the lakefront. If you're going to do this, friends, take your phone, because the pictures are just beautiful of our... I mean, we forget sometimes how beautiful our skyline is, and you get cute pictures of the dog, your dog, and other dogs that are out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great event. It all raises money for the Anti-Cruelty Society, for their programs, but most specifically for the animals that live there all the time. The walk starts at 9 a.m., and the party continues until 1 o'clock. There'll be beer this year, a beer tent.
Mm.
Dogs love beer.
No, it's for...
For the people.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And there'll be a raffle and all these events for dogs, like an agility course, and dog trainers will be out there, veterinarians will be out there to answer questions from MedVet Chicago and other folks as well. That is May 18th at the Soldier Field on the Green, I think it's called. It's right next to Soldier Field, right all there. Right. Yeah. And for further information, anticruelty.org.
Do you speak at this event, Steve?
I do. I'm one of the... thank you.
Are you a keynote speaker?
Yes. I do a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Wow. Color-coded?
Yes.
Oh, those are the best.
No, I will be out there with Jose Sanders of Channel 7.
Oh, yeah.
And Roz Varon of Channel 7.
Yeah.
And Bart Shore, a brother in sound.
I love Bart.
Bark Shore.
Bart.
No, not but for Bart. The event, it should be Bart Shore.
You know, yes. Bart's former dog, Max, he has passed away.
Yes.
Bart had this dog so trained, Bill. He would bring the dog on Dearborn Street right by Harry Carey's.
Yeah.
Why?
And he would say, because he was walking his dog one day, and he said, you know, Max, stay. And Max would just lay down and did not move. Until Bart said, you know, up.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I'm too much of a chicken. I have a leash on my dog at all times. Not a bad idea because people walking by might be afraid.
You're totally right about all of that, but including the fact that this dog was, I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really, yeah, very, very well trained.
Steve, I saw something on TV last night, and I said, I can't wait to tell Steve Dale about this because I don't even know if you know this exists. This woman came up with this product where it's a piece of tape. And you take your cat and you put the tape on your cat and then you lift the tape up and then you send it into a lab and it's like a DNA test. They tell you the history, like everything in the cat's history. Have you ever heard of such a thing? It exists?
Yes.
Something like that already exists?
Yeah. No, well, I've heard of this. So Leslie Lyon is the researcher who did all the work. She's a geneticist.
Mm-hmm.
And we now have a... amazing understanding of the cat genome. We do have the dog genome too, and I think for our own medicine, even it'll be at some point, like you're born, and they'll be able to map out exactly what you probably will need for the rest of your life.
Wow.
It's really quite amazing.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sharks on Shark Tank said, how much will this cost? And they said, it's $100. And all the sharks said, no, people won't spend that money. But I said, I bet if
will.
I ask Steve, he'll tell me otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. I think they will. I mean, people love their cats and dogs. I mean, this stuff is really interesting stuff, but moreover, can help medically.
Yeah.
Veterinarians determine what's to come because they will say this polycystic kidney disease can be in part genetic, for example.
Right.
And they can say this is going to probably happen with this cat. They can predict all that. And it's because of the work this one researcher did, which I'm on the board of an organization that helped to fund.
Now, explain this part to me. The shark said, why don't you do this for dogs? And she said, because it would cost twice as much.
I don't
understand why that would be.
Well, they do that with the, you can test the breed of your dog. Isn't this kind of what they're doing for cats?
Yeah. A little more than that. What they're doing for cats, and soon we'll be able to do for dogs too, potentially, is... They're going, and I think they can do this for people. I mean, there are people who know more about this than I do, for sure. But by doing what you describe, or by taking a sample of your saliva, can tell you everything about you. Medically, too, and that's the idea, to be able to preempt or better understand medical conditions.
So not just things you've already had, but things you could potentially have in the future.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's
impressive. You know, so... it is thought that very soon we'll be able to go to the doctor when we're infants,
mm-hmm.
and that doctor will say, well, there's a 30% chance of this kind of heart disease happening.
Hmm.
And that's what they're looking for, by the way. Heart disease is one of the things they would look for in cats. It's actually feline hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, it's called, and it's really, sadly, very common among cats.
Yeah.
Another thing I read recently, with medical marijuana being legal in Illinois, and perhaps it's going to be recreational soon, a lot more people are bringing home edibles to their house. And, you know, if you have a dog that jumps on the counter or a cat that walks on the counter, this could be very dangerous to animals.
Thank you for bringing that up, because it can be. And what's more, there's this trend that's going on YouTube now. I'm almost hesitant to talk about it, because when you talk about these things that they may happen more often. Dogs often have neurological symptoms, and they look like they're having a seizure. they may be technically having a seizure. If they have too much of this stuff that you speak of, and people actually think it's funny and videotape it.
It's not. People did that in high school. They'd, you know, do a big bong hit and blow it into their dog's face, or people used to give their dog beer. How is that funny?
It's not. It's animal abuse, in my opinion. Yeah. And people should be found guilty if they do this, and they are guilty. They should be subject to criminal prosecution.
So what about the secondhand smoke? If marijuana is legalized for recreational purposes, you're going to have a lot more instances where pets are just in the room when it's happening. What's the end result there?
Well, we do know about cigarette smoke. I don't know the answer for marijuana smoke. I just don't know.
It doesn't linger, it seems, as long as cigarette smoke.
I don't know. I don't know if there are as many carcinogens in secondhand marijuana smoke.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Yeah, so that's just not my wheelhouse. But I do know this. I do know that when you get a prescription, you know, so they get brownies very often with marijuana in it, right? And other edibles, right? So what you typically do when you get a prescription is you put it in your cabinet at home and you close the cabinet. You don't put it up on a counter. And up on a counter, our pets can get to it much more easily. And if it's chocolate, you've got a double whammy going on here because chocolate can be very toxic to dogs and cats. Cats tend to, like, I'm not going to bother with it. Some cats will, but dogs definitely like it. And it's you're combining now this big hit of marijuana. You're supposed to have one of those chocolate cookies or chocolate brownies, but the dog may eat three or four of them.
Oh,
and a dog is, say, what, how big is Kona?
He's about 52 pounds.
So you've got a 52-pound animal or less, right? A 12-pound dog can do it.
So it's not processing the drug real well.
Yeah, so that's not good.
So if your dog is playing a lot of video games, listening to Pink Floyd, you need to do something about it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
How come you haven't won any awards recently? What's going on with you?
How come you haven't, Bill?
There's reasons I haven't. But Steve is used to winning awards, and it's been over a month. You haven't won a single award.
Know.
What's going on with you?
I don't know. I'm just... I don't know.
And how about that crazy, stupid lady who dropped a bag of puppies in Coachella in the in the dumpster?
Yeah, in a dumpster.
And a homeless guy found it, and you know he didn't want people to think he did it, but he left it at like an auto parts place.
Yeah,
the homeless guy's a hero.
Totally. It was 90 some degrees.
They would have died.
100%.
Yep.
So she has been caught, and
she's been prosecuted.
Yeah.
And there was a case in Springfield, Illinois. I mean, so the good news is slowly we are taking animal abuse more seriously. And we could thank the internet for that in part because cameras caught all this. And then when word got out, I mean, I posted on my blog, but oh my God, you know, I mean, what? Millions of people posted on their social media pages images of her. So of course, when millions of people do it, you're going to be caught.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And similarly for a guy in Springfield, Illinois that, beat a chihuahua to death. You know, so the good news, if there's good news in these stories, is that we are beginning to prosecute and take it very seriously, as we should.
Yep.
Because someone who does this to an animal is, we know, likely to do something bad to a person as well.
Amen.
Steve, thank you. I hope you win an award soon. I feel bad that you haven't won any award for a month.
Well, you could give me an award.
I'll get you something.
Or you can we'll get, yeah, that's what yeah, I'm afraid of. Something. You'll give me something. That's,
how
that's
do people
for sure.
find you?
SteveDale.tv.
And what's coming up on your show?
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Because this week, my girlfriend is going to be on.
What? Your wife will be furious.
I don't think so in this case, because it's Dr. Jane Goodall. Remember I spoke about her and I interviewed her? So the first part of the interview airs this Sunday at 6:30. She, I'll tell you, is the most incredible person I have met ever, ever. Without, I mean, I don't know about religious stuff and what it takes for someone to be a saint.
Yes.
But she is that. I interviewed Mother Teresa in a way. I mean, she is a, United Nations says officially, you're our messenger of peace.
Right.
She's up, deservedly so, for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
She is the most incredible person I have met. We need to listen to what she's saying.
Jane Goodall, as you say, your girlfriend. You're going to call her that when she's on with you?
Sure. No, no, I didn't. No. I'm out of town, so I recorded the interview already, and it airs this Sunday morning at 6:30.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Steve, nice to see you.
Thank you for bringing that up. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. We sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here, everybody.
We're singing his praises.
We're singing his praises, as we've been asked to do.
Cut it out and let's talk.
All right.
There's enough singing.
All right.
Too much singing.
I want to start out with, now you know this is gonna make people angry. The case,
I hate to do, you know how I hate to do that.
For impeching President Donald Trump.
Oh, this column did make people angry.
I know.
You're right. I got a lot of emails and Twitter. People are hassling me on Twitter.
What is their main complaint with that discussion?
Well, what's interesting to me is how many of the letters that I got from people. I mean, essentially, I'll lay out what I said in the column, which is I think there's some excellent reasons for not impeaching Trump.
For not impeaching,
because it's like it's going to, first of all, you'll never get him out of office. The Republicans will never vote to convict him in the Senate. So impeachment and removal are different things, but mm-hmm. I think we lump them all together into one act. Impeachment is futile in that sense that, you know, Trump's going to be there.
He's not going to give up his post.
Well, he's not going to give it up, but he's not going to be ousted. He's there so that it's futile in a way. And the public doesn't seem to have really that much of an appetite for it. The polls show support for impeachment in the 30s, which is even lower than support for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The opposition to Trump is still substantial. It's in the 50s. But people don't want impeachment. So you've got that. And so then there's this idea that, well, if they do that, it's going to throw the Democrats off their game. But the Democrats need to talk about health care, the economy, the immigration, things mm-hmm. like that. They shouldn't be talking about, you know, Russian interference mm-hmm. in the election and Trump's obstruction of justice and so on. I mean, there's reasons not to do this. The case that I make is that you really, given all the evidence there is against Trump that he obstructed justice, and Mueller lays this out, I mean, like 10 examples of when Trump obstructed the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
These were arguably criminal acts, and he could not, Mueller felt that he could not indict the president because of Justice Department rules. And I think it is up to the Democrats in Congress to pursue this. Even though it might be politically disadvantageous to them, even though it might backfire on them politically, this is why we have impeachment. This is their job, and to outsource it to the voters, to say, well, in a year and a half, we're going to have an election, so it'll be up to the voters to decide on Trump. That's not what our system calls for. Our system calls for when there's evidence like this. And if you want any suggestion of this, go back and listen to what the Republicans were saying when they impeached Bill Clinton back in the 90s, back in 1998. They were saying exactly the same sort of thing about, you know, the dignity of the office, the offenses that he committed, and this isn't right, and so on. I mean, Lindsey Graham is a great example. He was carrying on about the need to impeach Clinton, and now he's a staunch defender of Trump when Trump's offenses, alleged offenses by Mueller, are much greater. This is what Congress should do, is my argument. What interested me about the response to this on Twitter and in my email was how many people just said, why are you saying this? Trump did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it echoes the early spin on this report that was put out by Attorney General William Barr. His early statements where he really emphasize the exoneration of Trump, emphasize there's no big deal here, there's not enough to prosecute here, all the things that Barr said that actually weren't reflected in the report. And I don't blame people for not having, I haven't read the entire report. I've read a lot about the report, and I've read excerpts from the report. I haven't read the whole, it's a long thing.
It's so big.
It's so long.
It's like three phone books.
But I'm getting the sense that people have, not only have they not read much about the report, they haven't read broadly about the report. They haven't read other sources other than Fox News. Although there's this, I want to read you this quote. This is from Judge Napolitano,
mm-hmm.
who's one of the commentators on Fox. And he says, you know, when the president asked his former deputy national security advisor, K.T. McFarland, to write an untruthful letter to the file, knowing the government would subpoena it, that's obstruction of justice. When the president asked Corey Lewandowski, his former campaign manager, to get Mueller fired, that's obstruction of justice. When the president asked his then White House counsel to get Mueller fired and then lie about it, that's obstruction of justice. Again, this is Judge Andrew Napolitano, Fox commentator. When he asked Don McGahn to go back to the special counsel and change his testimony, that's obstruction of justice. When he dangled a pardon in front of Michael Cohen in order to keep Cohen from testifying against him, that's obstruction of justice. This is a Fox News commentator. He was a judge. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that he's necessarily the final word, and there are obviously other commentators on Fox who say something else. But I get the argument that the people will say, well, this isn't enough to impeach him. This isn't enough to put the country through this. I understand that argument. What I don't understand is this argument people are putting forward that says he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
That I don't understand. And it, to me, it suggests that the spin is working, that the big lie that they put out there, that he did absolutely nothing wrong,
right,
is taking root. And that's frightening to me. That's more frightening to me than people who don't really care. I mean, I can see people saying, you know what? The economy's going okay, and I like the conservative judges and justices he's putting in here. I'm fine with Trump, and yeah, he's not very polished, and yeah, there's some things about him that.
But we're almost
like.
Finished with it too. The term's almost over. Almost.
It's really not though. I mean, if you think about it, he's just halfway mark was January, yeah. 2 months ago.
I guess.
Yeah. So we still have a lot of time to go. Yeah. They're not going to get rid of him. I mean, you're absolutely to imply that is correct, Wendy, which is like we're not getting rid of him. He's around for the next 18 months. It's 18 months until the election.
Yeah,
basically. It's another 3 months. What, 2 months after that?
The election's in
January 20th. So he's going to be around for at least 20 more months, barring anything really unforeseen.
Right.
So I guess you know, in some ways, I understand that argument too, which is like, hey, you know, the country doesn't want this, so yeah. It could backfire politically on the Democrats, and it would distract them from the campaign they need to run. On the other hand, given how much this argument about Trump that says that he did nothing wrong seems to have seeped in to people,
yeah,
I feel like the Democrats need to pursue it also for that reason. To open up an inquiry into impeachment, to conduct an investigation that would be part of that.
They're yeah. still not going to believe it. Fans and supporters.
There's going to be stuff that's going to come out that pursuing that investigation, I think, is important. I think it's important for them to keep looking at what he has done with his charitable foundation, with, you know, all his financial dealings, all the other things that he's got his hands involved in.
Sure.
That I think it's really important for the Democrats to keep looking at that, to keep that focus on. I think it's possible, as they say, to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think that they can continue to try to advance their legislative agenda, which will fail because they don't have the Senate and they don't have the president. So they can talk all they want now, Democrats, about, you know, free college for all or whatever they want, whatever they want to talk about. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that they can promote those messages in the campaign. They can talk about what they want to do in health care. They can talk about what they want to do with student loan debt. They can talk about what they want to do with immigration. At the same time, they can talk about why President Trump is unfit to be in office.
But nearly all of the Democratic hopefuls, now we're over 20 at this point, they all say the same thing, that we're not going to attack Trump. Our stance is going to be why we're better for the country, why we can help the country more. Joe Biden came in with the exact opposite.
Right, I was going to say, all of Joe Biden, yeah.
I'm going to attack Trump. I'm going to say, we at all costs, we need to get this guy out of office. That's his stance. So which stance is the right stance going into the next election?
I think you can do both. Yeah. I think that case needs to continue to be made. We're talking about trying to persuade a fairly narrow segment of the voting public, which is, you know, somewhere, you know, between the 40-yard lines, as they say in football metaphors, which is, you know, Trump has about 40% of the country just locked up. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party is on board with him to numbers that you haven't even seen. So I read something this morning that at this point in his presidency, Obama was supported by 80% of Democrats. They thought he was doing a good job. Trump's up over 90% among Republicans right now. That the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. And so, but the Republican Party is not the majority. The Democrats are not the majority. You get this swing voters, these people in the middle, who are saying, well, you know, yeah, he's a buffoon and an oaf and a narcissist and he tweets stupid things, but ...
But he's our buffoon and our narcissist.
Well, you know, but the economy's doing well, but I like what his judges are doing.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that he's deregulating business. I mean, there are things that Trump, there's an op-ed in this morning's Tribune about this, where someone talks about how the Never Trump movement in the Republican Party, remember there's a whole bunch of Republicans who are like, we were the Never Trumpers, and they've just disappeared. They don't exist anymore in that party. And the writer of this op-ed talks about, well, the reason is that he is promoting a lot of Republican values while in his nutty way.
Yeah.
He's advancing things that the Republican Party tends to believe in, with the exception of the trade wars that he's...
Are evangelicals as two-faced as we're being led to believe at this point?
Well, you know, the evangelicals, it's very transactional, right? They are getting the kind of judges they want at the Supreme Court. They feel like they're advancing. They've got their eyes, you know, on the horizon.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, well, yes, this guy's, you know, an adulterous profane pig, but
buddies are adulterous buddies profane are,
but,
pig.
But you know, buddies appointing judges and justices who are going to help advance the conservative evangelical position. And so they say, well, what, you know, it's better that than Hillary Clinton or Pete Buttigieg or any of these other people who might be coming forward in it. And so, yeah, I mean, have they sold their soul to that? I guess they have. Yeah, you'd like to see them at least like people like Franklin Graham. You'd like to hear them at least standing up a little bit for this, because you know they criticized Democrats up and down for years for their moral failings,
right?
And you know the vast moral failings of Donald Trump.
Look the other way.
Boys will be boys, you know, because they're getting what they want. So, it's transactional. You can't say that they're the only interest group in the world that's transactional like that,
right?
I'm thinking about following up with this column, because I did, you know, the column that I wrote for Sunday about this, I didn't really lay out the case against Trump because I felt like people knew that already.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong. They don't know that. They're like, well, you don't really explain. You certainly didn't persuade me, because you obviously have no reasons why he should. You're just saying he's a bad guy. I said, well, I should have used.
But you'd have to spend 24 hours a day purposely avoiding all sorts of news to not know his story, wouldn't you? How could you not know?
No, or you're in a certain bubble, right? You're paying attention to the cheerleading channel, which, you know, Fox News tends to just cheerlead for him. So,
yeah.
But there's a, you know, it's this story that we were just talking about. Well, let me hold that story for after the break.
All right, let's do that. We'll talk more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune next. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. Eric Zorn is our guest from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, we should really discuss what's going on in Springfield, because there's a lot going on.
We should. It's really interesting. We, you know, for the next 5 weeks, the legislature is back in session, and they are running a sprint to the finish line on a whole bunch of initiatives that Governor Pritzker promised and hinted at during the campaign that he wanted to do. And the big one, the big ask, is to pass it's for graduated income tax, and we have a flat state income tax.
Yeah.
And this would make graduated rates so that the wealthy would pay more. And to do that, you have to need a constitutional amendment. So the legislature has to pass it by two-thirds majority, or is it three-fifths? It's a supermajority they have to pass. And then the voters have to pass by a three-fifths majority.
Pritzker's so for this.
Pritzker's definitely for this. This is the big thing that he campaigned on.
Yeah.
This is a huge initiative for him. And you've seen ads on TV, I assume, you know, the
Illinois,
the
not
big
fair.
Illinois people and the other people, the Illinois Not Fair. And,
right.
And so this is a big battle going on. It tends to break down right on party lines, but if he can get this through, that doesn't end the game at all, because it has to go to the voters, and that doesn't happen until November 2020. So it's a long time before we have that. But there are a number of other initiatives that he wants to push through. The big ones are, one is the legalization of marijuana, for recreational marijuana, and that has, you know, that has a lot of traction. For people, you hear people talk about, oh yeah, I'm in favor of that, and just about all the mayoral candidates were in favor of it, and it's it's sort of the progressive thing to do. But there's been a number of people on both sides of the aisle who want to tap the brakes on that, who are saying, wait a minute, this may not be the greatest idea in the world. And they look at the experience in places like Colorado and California, and they think, are we ready for this? Is this what we want? There's problems with things like, how do you tell if someone is driving when they're high? Because you have to
do a blood test.
Well, you have to do a blood test. And
yeah, but that could be in your system, you know.
Wendy's exactly right. Wendy's right that, you know, so, I mean, you remember the stories. You probably all heard stories about people who have to take drug tests for jobs.
Yeah.
And if you had smoked pot like within 2 weeks or something like that, it's going to show up in your blood
positive.
Test. So I remember one woman applying to the Tribune drank like Gatorade for like 24 hours.
Oh.
All she did, she worked. She got the job.
Oh.
And she's not there anymore. But anyway,
it's hard to figure that out if you're currently high.
Well, we both. Well, what do you think about this, Wendy? The legalization of recreational marijuana.
I think it should be legalized. I think there are more problems with alcohol, and I think, you know, you need to be responsible.
Well, Bill?
I'm against it.
Yeah, see, we all have kids around the same age, you know, sort of late teens, early 20s, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of think, well, yeah, legalization. But then I think, what would I think if I heard that, like, any one of my kids was smoking every day?
Yeah.
Would I be happy about that? Would I be?
What if they were drinking every day?
If they were drinking every day, like say if they're having a glass of wine every day, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm closer to Bill on this. I'm just like I'm really skeptical about it, and it goes against my politics in general to feel that way. But I just have this feeling like I don't know if this is going to be a great thing. I don't know if I want pot shops on every corner. I don't know. You know
right.
I just don't know how I feel about that. Why are you against it? Same.
A bunch of reasons. I see it as a big gateway drug. I really do.
Yeah,
I think alcohol is a gateway drug too, and you know, I don't smoke pot, but I think alcohol is a bigger problem.
It definitely is a bigger problem because it's the way it's used, right? But and of course,
it's abuse in any of them.
The other one, Bill, you probably have an opinion on too, is sports betting.
Yeah,
and really, and this expansion of gaming that they're talking about, and again, you know, there are people who have real problems with gambling and. It can ruin families, and I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea of basing our entire revenue model on essentially the fact
that
you can make a lot of people are going to be weak, and a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money. Maybe people who can't afford it,
right?
Who need to buy groceries and stuff for their family.
Yes. On the other hand, you know, I feel like why does the government get in there and say, you know, you want to bet $50 on the Rams over the Seahawks? You can't do it,
right?
Like, why would the government? Getting its way there
because the government wasn't getting a piece of it until now.
Right,
all of a sudden they can
benefit.
Is
that really what it is?
Well, there's and there's all kinds of issues about question like the NFL, MLB, those places. They want a piece of the action. They hear betting on our games.
Right,
people will bet on anything. Right, the next pitch, a ball or a strike. You know,
yeah.
And so they are providing the product that people are betting on. My answer to that is, well, come on. How many people are watching NFL games on the weekend, games which they have no actual rooting interest because they've got a fantasy team or they've got money on the game or something like that. They don't have any
But in both
interest.
Of those instances, in both marijuana and in gambling, the government was against it and you could potentially be arrested for it until they figured out we can get a piece of it. Now it's not so
bad. Now it's okay.
Feel free to smoke up. Feel free to bet on anything because now we're getting a little percentage of it.
Right, right.
It's just them giving in.
Right, right. It is. And some other things going on in Springfield. They're looking to add a 5 cent per bag tax on plastic bags.
Yeah.
Now, there's already a 7 cent tax in
Not
Chicago.
The suburbs because I'm pretty confused when I am down at Ulta downtown and it's like, would you like a bag? And I'm like, yeah. It's 7 cents. And is that okay? I don't care.
Right.
But it shocks me.
You're an extremely wealthy radio personality.
It really, I kind of forgot all about it.
And they want to add 32 cents a pack, jeez, increase in cigarette taxes. They want to...
they should. The more expensive cigarettes are, hopefully the more people will try and quit.
I mean, there's all kinds of line item revenue things. The Tribune spelled it out in a pretty good story yesterday. And we're talking about things in the sort of... You know, 50 million to 200 million range.
Right.
Each one of them. And that's just how they're going to balance the budget. Each one of these things, the Democrats, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts going on
there.
And the thing that's going, that Pritzker and the Democrats may be able to use is infrastructure.
Yeah.
Capital bill.
Yeah.
Roads, bridges. They can start doling out those goodies and they can maybe pull some votes over. So it's going to be a great thing to watch.
I'll update you
next week. How's
Would
that?
Would you update us next
I
week,
will,
Eric?
I promise.
That'll be fun.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric Zorn will be back 1 week from now with an update. Thanks, Eric.
Good
Have a great week. We'll be back with more stuff.